Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to Talking Trots for another Saturday. Quality card of trotting action at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Of course, a big week in the Shaky Isles with the New Zealand Trotting Cup on at Addington on Tuesday. Let's bring in the good form team, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. G'day, lads.
Yeah, g'day, John. Really excited to be chatting again, of course. Big week in all racing codes, really, but with the New Zealand Cup coming up, really excited for that race. And only, 48 hours ago or so, Lenny the Shark getting the job done in the Yarra Valley Cup on.
Yeah, a bit of 20-40-30-30 from new action. Yeah, 2020, a bit of something. yeah, it was amazing to see what Lenny did at Yarra Valley, and hopefully, I think we all expect that Lazarus will destroy his opposition at Addington, and that sets up a mouth-watering Inter-Dominion Carnival just around the corner, but we've got to find some winners tomorrow night first, and we'll try and do that in the second half of the show, JT.
And also tomorrow it's the St Arnold Cup, so a good country cup there on Sunday. All right, the week that was, you talked about Lenny back on Thursday, Oaks Day. I actually watched the race. You go to a race like that and you think, are they going to actually put the handlebars down and have a decent dip here? And the answer was yes.
The beauty is, Baker, now I've heard this second and third hand, admittedly, but the puppet felt like heading off to Perth, they needed to get one more really good hard run into Lenny the Shark, and that's what he did. I mean, he went 55-3. Generally speaking, he always runs along in his races, though he never really sits up. He ran a spectacularly fast time, despite it being a quote-unquote procession in the Victoria Cup. He gives, actually, the other horses their opportunity to beat him. He's just too good.
Oh, correct.
Particularly now.
No doubt. I saw a little bit of conjecture around the track record being 5 seconds quicker. Did you see this?
I know Smudgy went about
from the stand, because now it's a mobile race. It'd only been one edition, won by Restrepo.
But I think we can all agree 55 and change over the long trip in any race is a spectacular time and gives everybody their chance to beat him. So he rolled, and he looked, to be honest, even by his normal standards, I thought he looked more wayward than usual. Down the back, he wanted to drift off. He almost gave a run
that
early.
That might be Yarra Valley thing, big
open
track.
But look, there had to be moments that everybody watching the race where they thought, hang on a second, is he a little bit below his best here? But he just exploded that final 800 metres, really a spectacularly quick 54.2 second final
some
half.
Good runs behind him as well.
Yeah, Myfield Marshall was very, very good, and people say I'm a bit blinkered with Tisa B. McRae, but I've been willing to assess him roughly at times. I think this preparation, I thought his run was outstanding. And Messini, very good all the first four home.
What else has been happening this week, boys?
Well, there's plenty going on, really, isn't there? Of course, we had, I guess it's just on a week ago now, the Trotters sort of had a bit of a change-up at that top level, and I think we're all a little bit shocked by what we saw. Bon, I'm not sure what's come out of it to date, but Maori Time leading. She was beaten by her stablemate, Kai Valley Blue, who we know is a top-class trotter. He's always been that, but he probably hadn't been at his absolute best this preparation. But the race worked out for him. He was clearly the best on the night, and Glenferrie Typhoon galloping, Maori Time probably going below her best. We're all set to sort of declare her clearly the best trotter in Australia. Has that changed in your mind now? How do you feel about what happened on the weekend?
I don't think there's any I don't think anybody can sort of say their head and shoulders clear away the best trotter in Australia at the moment. We're certainly going through a changing of the guard, and it's quite strange, isn't it? It's a paradox, a little bit of a dichotomy between the paces right now. I don't think we've had a healthier time in the last 3 or 4 years for the paces with Lenny the Shark and Lazarus and all these very good horses coming through in Victoria, TCB McRae and Myfield Marshall and San Carlo. Whereas for the Trotters, we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. Somebody's got to put their hand up. Speeding Spur's been out for a while. We haven't seen a lot of him. Monbay's injured at the moment in New Zealand, so we've lost two of the biggest guns from over there. And over here, there's just not a lot happening in terms of a genuine superstar. That creates opportunities for everybody. I still say if Glenferrie Typhoon can get back to his best, there's the opportunity for him to say, well, I'm still number one, I'm the best trotter going around in Australia. But we are in a holding pattern at the moment, and we're going to learn probably. It's going to take us the next 3 or 4 months, really, I think, to work it out properly, 2 or 3 at least.
Jagger Swaggers, while the rock is cooked.
He's
Who wrote that? Was that you, Blake?
Yeah, no, that's my fault. Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I thought you were going to get stuck into me there, John.
No, 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 no. I, you know, Poet Laureate, move over T.S. Eliot.
something of that nature. But this is, again, going back to last Saturday night at Melton and Jillaby Jagabon. I think we all sort of earmarked that if he wanted to go to Perth, he had to come back and win impressively. It was a good, strong win. But Moonrock, by the same token, in another race on the card, was very impressive. So just that second level, it's building nicely, isn't it? You spoke already about the absolute elite level being so plump at the top, I guess. But this next level coming through, there's some real talent amongst them, and those two are key amongst it.
What's your favourite T.S. Eliot poem, by the way?
Portrait of a Lady.
Portrait of a Lady.
Love song of...
No, I studied literature.
He wasn't the Raven man, was he?
No, that was Edgar Allan Poe. Love song of JL for Prufrock's my favourite. But anyway, I digress. I do think that... I spoke to Glenn Craven during the week, and he was happy enough with Jillaby Jagger, and he believes he's a bigger, stronger, more versatile horse this preparation. They're definitely going to Perth. If he gets good draws, he can easily qualify for the final because he does have very, very good gate speed, and we know Gloucester Park particularly suits those who draw, say, 1, 2, and 3, so he'll get his opportunity. Is he at the level of the elite ones? I still don't think he's there. He's got another significant half step to make up, but it was good to see him come back in style, and if he keeps progressing through that series, look, he could surprise and maybe even run a place in a final, but he will need luck with the draws, JT.
Lazarus looks almost unbeatable. Well, he is unbeatable. $1.30 with tab fixed odds. We do have an Australian flying the flag, Tiger Tara, but methinks just for place money.
Probably, and he is probably the most interesting runner in the race. He brings something fresh, given how well he went in the Victoria Cup behind Lenny the Shark. He'll definitely create some interest on the day, but he's going to be $12, $15, whatever it'll be. But look, Lazarus, he's done everything right. We saw the Kaikoura Cup win. How good he was. He just looks like he's right at the peak of his powers, Bond. And I think the one thing that we'll learn a little bit more maybe in the next 12, 24, 36 months is I think he's a genuine stayer. We saw in the Miracle Mile maybe he wasn't quite at his best, long season, all that, but I think when he gets out to staying trips, that's when we see the best of Lazarus.
Yeah, look, it's going to be wonderful to see him win at Addington, and we all expect that will happen on Tuesday, but I really am looking much more forward to the Inter-Dominion Series because I feel like we're getting two horses at the absolute peak of their powers. I know they're very different ages, Lenny the Shark and Lazarus, but they're just racing so well, and Lazarus's performance at Kaikoura was equal to anything he's done in his career. I don't care whether he smashed the New Zealand Cup record by 84 seconds last year. The way he sat parked and was able to drill those horses into submission the way he did was just so awesome. And I don't think he's going to prove anything on Tuesday, but he just has to go out there and do what we all expect him to, and that's to win.
Mm, for sure. Can I add something to the week that was?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great turnover figures for Victoria Cup night, guys. Turnover up 5% overall on the meeting versus the January edition of the Victoria Cup, and turnover was up 36% versus corresponding October Melton meeting in 2016. That's tick, tick.
I'll tell you what, the person who decided to put it on the night after the Everest might consider themselves a genius. I'm not sure if that had anything to do with a bond. Given we did have an odds-on favourite.
I think we know it did, yeah.
Yeah, given we had an odds-on favourite in the Victoria Cup, a lot of people probably would have expected turnover to be flat, if not down, but clearly it sort of came off the back of that wave of the Everest being such a high turnover day, and it really worked to the advantage of the Victoria Cup. Now, whether that would work with a different race there, I guess you don't know, and you probably won't ever know, but it was certainly a good news story, wasn't it?
Yeah, and look, no doubt, we have to thank our media partners too, RSN, of course, 927 and Sky Channel, good lead-in times for the major races and a good opportunity to flaunt the wares, I guess, because it is pretty clear that it was only going to go one of two ways Everest night, wasn't it? Either punters were going to be cooked,
yep,
and not really want to continue on and want to sort of forget their losses on the big day, or they're going to want to roll on and continue punting. And we were fortunate enough, I think, that they really wanted to continue punting, and they got an opportunity not to just to turn on and watch run-of-the-mill races, but to see, well, the best horse in Australia, a genuine champion in Lenny the Shark, and plenty of good support races too.
It was clearly your Victoria Cup heroes on RSN 927 that boosted turnover
your
there,
gone.
Bonners.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad someone did that.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week.
Nothing like a good bit of self-promotion, Jay Boddington. 3-2-1, please, runs of the week.
We'll start with you, Bon, because you're doing 1-3 this week because you're so wound up. But he's run again since. But Jillaby Roadrunner, I think you were quite taken with the win at Terang last Monday.
Yeah, well, occasionally racing off his chief handicapper, Paul Oxenford, and I sit down with the field and look at when you're working out race shape and race order, who might be the flashing lights, the very short price favourites. You get involved in that too, Blake. And I actually thought that Jillaby Roadrunner would be favourite in that race.
I have a big opinion of Pinstripes.
You must have a massive opinion of this one. Three wide for the last 1,200 metres and drilled it into submission.
Yep. No, very good win.
So this is an enormous win from a horse who's always shown plenty. They had a big opinion of him right from the word go. Was Gillaby Roadrunner the one who was beaten by Rock and Roll Icon? Mm-hmm. And they went into that race on debut thinking, how easy is this? And then Rock and Roll Icon came out and produced like a staggering performance on debut. But he's a very good horse, Gillaby Roadrunner, in for a big preparation. He goes around tonight at Tabcorp Park. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Glenn Craven slightly worried. He didn't back up that well as a younger horse week in, week out. But if he comes back and replicates what he did on Monday, he wins.
All right, two votes for me goes to Saliqua from Yarra Valley on Cup Day. Just an enormous performance. I think she's a very smart mare in the making to get the better of the horses she did on the week, or during the week, and the way she did it. Very, very big performance, and she can only get better. So big watch on Saliqua. She gets two votes, and I'm very interested how you produce this, Bond, considering it's this, how you going to handle the drum roll?
Taking care of business, McRae. TCB McRae gets the three votes here. And I know you can say, well, how can he do that? Lenny the Shark was obviously the run of the race. Of course, Lenny the Shark was the run of the race. But the performance of TCB McRae, I rated it. I'm interested in your thoughts because we've had a little bit of tete-a-tete over this. Who was the better performance out of TCB McRae and Myfield Marshall? Just looking at the race, Myfield Marshall, it was a clever drive by Anthony Butt. He went to the breeze and didn't try and bore it up Lenny the Shark at the right time, and then when the heat came on, he was in the right spot, whereas TCB McRae made up many, many metres in a 26.9 second third quarter and sustained the sprint. For mine, maybe I'm getting a little bit biased, but I just think that was a sign to me that TCB McRae is getting closer and closer every run to fulfilling his potential and being a horse who might be able to win a really properly big race with the right luck.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on who was the better runner. I think my comment was that
got splinters.
It wasn't an infinitely better run than Myfield Marshall.
No, I didn't say infinitely. Both very good runs.
And you saw a red rag to a bull and you went off on me, but that's just typical, okay. Bond.
TCB McRae, the three. Selakwood, two. Gillaby Road Runner, one. Driver of the week.
Just driver of the week, eh, Baker?
Yeah, we've done something a little bit different here, John, but it was so stunning. It probably goes down as driver of the month, if not driver of the year. You don't see it too often. It probably only happens two or three times a year when a driver can punch through from the second row and lead within 300 metres, and Josh Aiken did that with Audie here at Yarra Valley during the week. It was a magnificent drive. Obviously, things have to work out for you to some degree, but to have the awareness to punch through and get it done, big effort.
I'll tell you one thing that many punters won't know to JT. Often you look at Gatesbit off the front line, that's natural. You want to see who's going to be in front. It is a specific skill set for a horse to be able to begin quickly off the second row. Mm. And we might have found with Audie here, he's one of those horses. Hector JJ has always been stunning at it. Smoking Up was the best I've nearly ever seen. He was unbelievable, his ability to punch through and get himself into the right spot from second line draws. And it's quite a weapon to have because you don't always draw well, particularly with more and more preferential barriers or races, so it could be another little advantage Audie Hare's got as he goes through the grades.
All right, guys, we'll take a break here on Talking Trots. The other side of this, we'll take a good look at Melton tonight.
The Week in Review, the Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And welcome back to the program. Let's get cracking on tonight's card at Tabcorp Park, Melton. We bounced the ball to 28 past 6 with an MO over the 22.40 at this stage. Bonners, zero scratchings.
Yeah, and this is the toughest race on the program, although I have found one here, Baker, and I think it's the best each-way proposition of the evening. Its name is Ascot Encounter. It's drawn inside the second row, and it's very map-specific here with not a lot between these horses in terms of ability. Lombo Idol Belief, I think I'm quite confident, probably 75% confident, it will be able to kick through and hold the lead from the pole marking draw. Ascot Encounter will follow it through. Now, the figure form line next to Ascot Encounter's name looks very ordinary, 6680S, but it was tackling Vic Bred Super Series races before going for a break. It has since trialled well in preparation for its return behind the budding megastar and Ideal For Real. I just think if it gets that suck run here and is able to sprint for 150 metres, it'll definitely get past Lombo Idol Belief. It's just whether Lombo Idol Belief carries it strongly enough into the lane, and I do believe that's a significant chance. So 8 on top, heaps of dangers. Rock Classic will start favourite in the race, you would have thought. Good consistent customer, but certainly not one of Emma Stewart's stars, so I'm happy to half risk it in favour of Ascot Encounter, but it must go in your early quarties. Same can be said for Lucky VC, Lombo Idol Belief. Nicky's Idol can even go in, Gozo Lighting. Really wide race. My numbers, though, are 8, 10, 3, and 1. Thoughts?
Taking all that on board, but what price would you give me each way about Lanista?
Well, I've marked it $6, so that's not going to excite you too much, is it?
You didn't even mention it, did you?
No. I'm telling you now, I've got Lombo Audible F at $7.50, Lucky VC $6, Ascot Encounter, Lanista, Rock Classic and Nicky's Idol all in single figures in 130% market. So it's a tough race.
Yeah. Lanista each way if we can get $10.
All right.
Second event for C2, C3s. We take out horse 8. Bit of class on the front line here, numbers 2 and 3.
Phenomenal race this is in terms of top-end class when you think it's only a C2 to C3 final. Nitro, Nikki, Stratospheric and Shady Secret are all super talented horses. I just think, well, there's sort of two things here. One is that I believe Stratospheric, it's definitely the most untapped horse in the field. It's only had 3 starts for 3 wins, and its last start effort, mile rate alone and the way that it won, tells you it's a very, very progressive customer, and the map really works out well for it because it's going to go one of two ways. Nitro Nikki's going to get across to the pylons first, then Shady Secret's going to put the pressure on. Now, either Nitro Nikki will hand up to Stratospheric, in which case Stratospheric's in position A in front, or it's going to sit back and then Shady Secret's going to give it cover and it's going to be in a beautiful spot 1-1 behind the only two dangers who might carve at each other. So I can't work out how things could end up badly for Stratospheric. That's why I've got it on top. I've got Nitro Nikki in for second ahead of Shady Secret. Shady Secret just was too classy and too quick for Nitro Nikki in their qualifier for this series. But I just think Nitro Nikki will hand up to Stratospheric, giving it the soft run, whereas Shady Secret's going to have to do the work outside the leader. That's how I've read the race. Best way to play it, Baker, is 2-3-5, 2-3-5. 2-3-5 box trifecta, personally speaking.
You don't have to give me all three combinations, just say box at the start.
Oh, okay. And actually might play a first four there and throw in a number of horses to run fourth, trying to look for a little bit of value. 3, 2, 5, and 12, my numbers. I threw Major Patron in for fourth. I think he was driven against his normal pattern last start. If he's driven sit sprint here, he might be able to run into fourth. But the trifecta, the die is cast there. You've seen a price for Lanista in the first, $15?
Yeah, I might be shopping $15 somewhere, but I agree with everything you've said on race two, so jump aboard, I guess.
Third race, few scratchings here. Numbers 2, 4, 7, and 10 come out. Pinstripes in solid form, but there's a smart one as well here, Jillaby Road Runner.
We've half done our analysis for this race already, haven't we? Jillaby Road Runner was able to come 3 wide for the final 1,200 metres and just be too good for Pinstripes in their qualifier. By far the stronger of the two qualifiers for this series. It's drawn better. It'll be in the breeze sooner. The only thing that beats it, possibly in my mind, Baker, is not backing up week on week or within 6 days here. But, look, I think it's the best horse in the race. It should be winning. Pinstripes is the only conceivable danger. And if you're playing exotics, the only other ones you need to include are Let's Go to the Hop number 9 and 1 Hour Master George. Anything to add?
Not really. The race shape is a little bit interesting, I guess, being, you know, eyeballing the whole way and all that sort of stuff. Pinstripes, as I said, I've got a very big opinion of, but I'll cede to the market and to your analysis that Roadrunner should get the job done again.
Fourth event, guys, last leg of the early quaddie for the Trotters over 22.40.
We've got a great little battle here again and a very clear-cut one. Saxon Rose is a very professional customer. Begins well from the mobile, begins well from the stand. I believe it will be in front within 150 metres. Carnera, I don't know what's happened, but the last few starts, it's going like a freak. Its last couple have been absolutely outstanding after blowing the standing start, losing huge amounts of meterage, and then flying home the last lap or lap and a half of its races. I just think over the 2,240 metres standing start, Carnera already has to give Saxon Rose 10 metres at the start. I think by the time he gets down and trotting, he could be giving it 30 or 40 metres. So I'm very, very clearly with Saxon Rose here over Carnera. They're the only two winning chances to my mind. Brandon's Price is a horse I've always had time for. Won at $14 last start. Shouldn't have been those odds. And we'll get a gun run here because it does begin well from the strands. And Xenia, we know how talented she is at her best. She's not quite racing at her best. She can't beat these off 30 metres, but you throw her in exotics. 2, 5, 1, and 8 in race 4.
Tricky enough race for me. Argyle Melody's going really well. Carnera, if he does step with them, then he's probably the horse to beat. So I think you probably have to stagger it up if you're playing early quaddies.
Under race 5, guys, Tab Fixed Odds Market here for the Alabar Pace. Eager Dan, 280. Dynamic Bromac, 390. Bad Billy's at 5. Beach Boy Adios, 650 with Tab.
I'm not overly thrilled with this race, to be honest. I think you just have to play 3 wide in the opening leg of the quaddie, 2, 9 and 10. My numbers are 9, 2, 10 and 6. Eager Dan's been racing in much better company, 6th in the Victoria Cup, 2nd last time out in a strong race. I don't like him drawn off the second line necessarily, but I just think he's going to be too quick and too classy for these, really. I think Dynamic Bromac would have been better suited if it could have led and handed up to Gotta Go Henry, if Gotta Go Henry had stayed in the race. I think the scratching actually hurts him, because now Josh Aiken's got a decision to make. Do we lead, when that's going to be a very hard thing to do in such a high-class race, M1 to M3, when you're only in M1? It's going to be interesting to see what he does do. And Bad Billy's a horse I've always got a lot of time for. He needs a lot of luck in his races, but when he gets it, he can be very, very impressive. So they're your main three. And I don't know what you think, Baker, but I would also include potentially Hickstead and Beach Boy Adios if you think that either one could get across Dynamic Bromac, or if Dynamic Bromac would be happy to hand up to one of the two in transit. Hickstead, of course, was very unlucky last time. It was going to run a clear second to Moonrock before galloping with a couple of hundred metres to go. 9, 2, 10, and 6, my numbers?
Yeah, I tend to agree with most of that. I just, if you are playing your quarters, I'd almost throw in a third stagger and have Tryson and he's okie dokie, just because I don't really want anything to blow me out in the first
round. And ideal majority,
and
I would have thought.
Majority,
yeah,
of course. The field, basically. Yeah.
Second leg of the quaddy is the 4 and 5 year old championship. Tab fixed odds market here. Shadow Sachs for Langer's at 250. Let It Ride 420. Motu Meteor 440. Then Mr. Mojito 650.
I think a lot of this has got to do with what you think is going to happen in the first 300 metres. Now, there's five big guns in this race. Motu Meteor, Shadow Sachs, Let It Ride, Moonrock, and Mr. Mojito. They're the five big guns, right? But because it's a metropolitan maiden, because of its injuries and all the rest, Shadow Sachs draws so superbly well here. And this is a Group 1 winner we're talking about. If you think he can get to the front, and I'm very confident he will, I do not think there is very much chance at all he can get beaten. I think he's a very, very, very high-class horse, Shadow Sachs. Brilliant winning last time out. Only getting better with racing since he's come back from his little niggle. So he's a clear on-top selection. He will start shorter than $2.50 to my mind. Motu Meteor, purely because of the draw, goes in for second. Though there's no doubt Mr. Mojito is a better horse than Motu Meteor, at least at this stage of their careers. It's just going to be so hard. If they balance up and don't go quickly through the middle stages, Gate 13 will probably cruel him, but he is going to Perth for the Inter-Dominion Series, so he's a really, really good horse. Kerrin's chosen to drive him over Motu Meteor. And then I'd be including Let It Ride's got stacks of ability. I'm just not sure at this stage of its career it could go back from gate six and possibly hope to run these down. And Moonrock's the forgotten horse for me a little bit. It's going to trail through behind Shadow Sachs and get into a good role. You would not want to be leaving it out of your exotics. 2, 1, 13, and 6 in the big one.
I'm not sure if it's loyalty or what, but interesting that Anthony Butt's driving Moonrock over Let It Ride. John Caldo will drive Let It Ride, so...
Well, Anthony's partner does... You know where your bread's buttered in life. You'll find this out a little bit later, Baker. When your missus trains one, you're driving it, you're not driving the one for your brother.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I think it's a very interesting race. Can't wait to watch it. I'd have a place bet on Whirly School. I think she's going really well. She'll get a soft run. If it is pegline dominated, I can see her sneaking into third, but I'm happy just to mainly watch it, I think.
Race 7, third leg of the quaddy is a trot, smallish field. Sundon's Courage beaten last week. Can the horse atone tonight?
I am very, very, very super confident that it will atone, and that was trained by Kevin Ford, wasn't it, Will Atone? But we digress, and Matty Crabb for a short time, I think. But Into the Unknown is likely to start favourite in this race, and I just love the opportunity we're getting here to have a really good straight-out lash at one. It may be $2.53. Sundon's Courage will find the front here. When he finds the front, he rarely loses. He's won 9 of 13 when leading. I thought he was very good first up from a break. He had to sit parked. He crushed the leader, Cyclone Lucky 7, who the start prior had won the Swan Hill Trotters Cup. So he did all the bullocking work first up from a break and just left himself vulnerable to Garston Girl, who got the gun run right on his back. He comfortably beat the rest home. He just staggered the last 100 metres, really. If he finds the front tonight, and he will, as I mentioned, Into the Unknown will not run him down, I don't believe, though she is the major threat. She's superbly talented, at least as good a horse, you would say, as Sundon's Courage, if not better, but gets herself into awkward spots and will not be benefited one bit from the pole marking draw or by the pole marking draw. The other two you include for exotics here, Garston Girl, of course, the last start. Conqueror of Sundon's Courage won't get it as easy here. And Son of Anarchy, who can run bottlers against the A-graders and then not necessarily beat the ones level below. He's a really sort of intriguing horse, Son of Anarchy, but he goes in fourth only for me, 5, 1, 6, and 4.
I really don't know where her bottom is, Into the Unknown. I could see her coming from off speed and still getting the cash, so I wouldn't be staggering the quaddy. I'd have them both in. I think they're probably the only two winning chances, but I wouldn't be so confident that Sundon's Courage is winning this.
Final leg of the quaddy is race 8 for the mares. Salak was a really good win first up. Kiang Callisto is a class mare, and I suppose we have to throw in a victor as well.
Well, for third, it's a two-horse race, isn't it? In fact, it's a race I'm looking forward to most, Baker, outside of the 4 and 5 year old championship, because these are two supremely talented mares. Team Lee Craven want to go to Perth with Key and Callisto if they think she's going to get a run in those big, big female-only features over in Perth across the Nullarbor. And Saliqua, well, we've already spoken about her. It was stunning what she did first up from a break. She's promised to be this good for quite some time, but what she did in that first up win, as long as it hasn't bottomed her out for any reason, if she can reproduce a similar performance over a shorter course trip, I've got her on top, Saliqua. A lot's going to be dependent on what happens in the first 150 metres. If Key and Callisto just blazes across them, that's going to make it hard for Saliqua. If it has to do some work, then I think Saliqua can and arguably will win. They're the only two winning hopes. Evictor's a really nice horse, beautifully bred out of Vertigal, but I just think she's stepping up significantly in grade to try and tackle these kinds of mares. And Rockabella Star, specialist miler with a good draw, throw her in exotics, but she can't win. 2, 6, 5, and 1?
My advice here is that Rockabella Stars will run no worse than third. She could even run second if Key and Callisto ends up in an awkward spot. So definitely play her one out for third in your trifectas and sneak her in for second in some. She was terrific last time. But I agree, Saliqua, I think she'd be hard to beat. Key and Callisto, the obvious danger.
And the last race, who wins here, guys?
Continental Lady almost certainly wins. I'm not sure if it gets the front, but it's got an edge of class on these. Would have won, I think, last start, if not for galloping, so should be going for three in a row. Aussie Beach Blonde, the major danger. If it leads and holds the lead, Fear Not goes in for third, and the former pacer Brooks Rose for fourth, 5, 4, 3, and 7, Bakes.
Looks pretty bang on to me.
Best bet time, Bonners.
Sundon's Courage, I'm pretty clear on this, and it worries me that after working with me for so long that Baker can't be swayed by my arguments. He still wants to be a contrarian here, so I'm with Sundon's Courage as my best of the night. What's your best, Bakes?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say it's not where I've got an absolute best, but I'm really looking forward to the racing all the same.
Where do we find all the form?
goodform.trot.com.au, and it'll
Linister
be up
in the first, by the
it'll
way.
Be up nice and early. Linister's come up with the best value at the end of the day. It'll be up very, very early, so before scratchings. We might just have to reassess after that, but if you want to go as soon as you wake up and see what to bet on a Tabcorp Park tonight, it will be available on goodform.trot.com.au.
Just about now, won't it?
Well done, lads. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, JT.
Thank you, lads. Well, that's it for Talking Trots for another Saturday. JT saying good morning. Riley Phelan has the latest in the world of sport in just a moment. And then Trainer Talk with Greg Miles. Final day of VRC Melbourne Cup Carnival for 2017, featuring the $2 million Emirates Stakes.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.